Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for a new life. Come join us.
I've struggled with depression my whole life.
I'm hanging in there.
That does not sound good.
I have a problem. I came across some pornography a couple of weeks ago on television, and I watched it.
I find myself constantly trying to take care of everything for my husband.
It affects them in different ways, but still, it's a bad thing for their hearts and their souls and their minds.
Anyone saying that that family of origin, horrendous sin, is irrelevant to be dealt with is an idiot.
The act of sharing it will take the punch out of it. Keeping it a secret makes it more magical. It goes into the realm of fantasy, and that does set you up. Marriages need to be protected.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich. Milan, you doing all right?
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I am doing great. And so how are the workshops going on how we love? Going well?
Well, they are. We're going all over the place, internationally, nationally, to do how we love our kids, and how we love sexually. Mm. And so we find ourselves, and even how we love as leaders, we find ourselves doing talks all over the place, so they're doing well. I was going to ask you about something. I was going to ask you about how your new book, Walking Into Walls, is going.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, I had great reviews.
Yeah.
I had a therapist tell me that she read the book because she wanted to see if she could refer it to a client, and that it got her back into therapy.
Wow.
So that's a good thing. But it's just that it's one person I've done a lot of books with on radio said that I have hit home runs in the past, but this is a grand slam.
Wow.
And I think if it is, it's just because I've, you know, over the years, I've tried to figure out what are the big things that really are hampering people. Well, what's bigger than being stubborn?
Yeah.
And we all know these people.
Yeah.
We may be one, but it's more common to know somebody.
Well, what's interesting to me is I've known you for quite some time, and I watch you get excited about certain things.
Yeah.
And you're very excited about this book.
Oh, I am. It's the best book I've ever written.
Okay.
If you don't like that book, forget the others. It is. It's just the best one that I've ever done. It's got more helpful information. I wrote every word of it, and you know, sometimes I co-author with other people,
right.
But this is my book, and it's 5 blind spots that block God's work in you. Now, let's go talk to some people that just might have some blind spots also, such as Annette from Detroit, Michigan, Sirius Satellite Radio. Annette, do you think you have any blind spots?
Yeah, I think that's possible.
Oh, well, that's good. That means you're on top of it then. How could we help you today? What's going on?
Well, I guess, I am in a relationship right now.
Yeah.
And my question is my boyfriend really trying to change? Could I be enabling his behavior? And should I stay in this relationship is ultimately the question.
Well, why don't you tell us about it a little bit there?
The answers are yes, yes, no.
In that order. Okay, so your boyfriend, how old are you and how old is he?
I'm 50 and he's 54.
Are you both believers or not believers?
We are both Christians.
Okay, and you've been together how long?
About a year and a half, 2 years.
All right, so what's the problem? What's the problem?
Well, I've seen some previous behavior in him before he moved in, but I noticed that he lost his job, and actually he lost 2 jobs close together, and then lost his apartment, and then because we were seeing each other and we were trying to be in a relationship, I said, look, you want to move in so you have a place to stay, because he said he didn't know where he was going to go, and so... I allowed him to stay with me the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months now.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's just kind of, things are happening that, and I get very angry at him because he's doing just stupid things. And, I mean, all his money's always gone. He's always broke. And he's on unemployment right now, and he gets a pension.
And you're
every
saying
time he gets paid, his money's gone.
And he's using that on alcohol, drugs?
I don't physically.
Well, we'll find out.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're back. Annette?
Yes.
Yes, you're enabling him, whatever the problem is. Yes.
Okay.
If you're saying he gets paid in pension and all this stuff and then it's instantly gone, okay. Well, let's see how that could happen. Drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling. How else could that instantly be gone?
Well, yeah, I mean, he says things to me because I'll confront him, and he actually responds to me that he helped a friend or he just blew it.
Is he a
and
drug?
Going,
is
how,
he,
how can you do that okay. when you know that, is that he, things need to be taken
okay.
care of here?
Is he a drug user?
In the past, he has admitted that he has in the past.
Is he a drinker?
No, I don't see him hardly ever. Once in a while, we have a glass of wine with dinner or something, but that's it. I don't see him drink.
Okay, and so it's just this big mystery.
Yeah.
He lives with you, and you're entitled to an accounting of the money, and he can't give that to you. You guys are, you know, you're together, you're Christians, and you're living in the same place, and you know that that's not right. Now he's not even supporting that not being right. I mean, why don't you trust God with your life and get out of this mess?
Well, he has been getting into the Word and
I'm not talking about doing religious things. I'm talking about why don't you trust mm-hmm. God with your life and say, God, I give you my life. I know I've accepted you as my Savior, but I've never fully given you my life. This relationship is full of sin. I want to get out of it, and I'm going to because it's the right thing to do. And you ask him to leave, and then once he's left, if he's wanting to get help for his spending problem or whatever it is, then you could help him from that perspective. But you need to get your life right if you're going to have some consequences that are going to be good rather than you needing to call a talk show about what to do with your life and him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think you need to do the next right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Annette?
Yes.
You are desperate to have somebody love you.
Yeah, I have that tendency, I think, yes. I think I do.
And I'm sorry, because desperation is a horrible place to be. But what you're doing is, your desperation is overriding the fact that you're tolerating the intolerable. He's not supporting you. He's not really loving you. You do have a companion, but he's really not loving you.
Yeah, I keep saying he's going to change, and he does it again. And then I find he's not changing. And I told him recently that I think that we need to separate.
Yeah.
And I did tell him that.
Okay,
and,
so what happened then?
Here's my quick question. How long have you felt desperate for somebody to love you and care for you? How old is that feeling? How far back does that feeling and memory go of wanting somebody to care and love for Annette?
Oh, wow. That's probably my, you know, most of my life, I would say, you know. That's amazing that you even say that, you know, and you know, it's just this wow. Well, blows me away that you think that about me.
That
you don't even know me and you could say that, you know?
Yeah.
But it's true.
Well, it is true. And you know what it does, Annette? It makes you, it's such a driving force inside of you. And guess what? Somewhere you were hurt. Somewhere mommy and daddy didn't see the little Annette the way she was supposed to be seen, and it hurt you. And in hurting you, it left a longing in your heart. And now I'm just also trying to defend the little girl, and I'm also trying to defend the big lady. You don't deserve to be treated like that.
Mm-mm.
Right. And I know this. You know, that's why I get angry at him when he does these things.
Sure.
And I tell him, I am not living this way.
Right.
You have to change this, or we need to go our separate ways.
Well,
I have told him this.
I think it's the other way around. I think it's the other way around. You know, apparently there's parts of this man that you like. And he could have some really good qualities, okay? But I would do it the other way around. I would say, we're going to get separated, and if you would like to get my attention in the future, I need to know that your life is mm-hmm. becoming more and more brought into a world of control, responsibility. See, for a guy to lose two jobs really fast, for a guy to lose an apartment,
right?
I do know that Detroit is really hard hit. I get that. It's very difficult in that city right now. But just, we're talking about an irresponsible person, even though at times he might be nice.
Right, I do realize this. You know, I guess in a way, because of my feeling of maybe the desperation, I guess, I feel that I always felt that, yes, my dad, he is very demanding, critical. There was a lot of alcoholism. There was some abuse.
Okay, now Annette, you could tell us a lot of things about your past, and we totally see we're getting it because we know you've been hurt. But here's the question, because this is what we do
right
here: what are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do?
I have said this to him, and I wanted to.
Well, you've said things before. You said we need to separate,
yeah,
but you didn't do anything about that. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you willing to do?
But see, if Annette's been hurt and abused,
mm-hmm.
for Annette to have the adult voice to tell a person to stop, back up, don't
right.
do that anymore,
right.
that can even be hard for a 50-year-old person
sure.
to do.
Sure.
And Annette, it could be hard for you to have that voice to say stop, no more.
And if you don't have that voice, then you mm-hmm. need to have somebody help you get that voice.
Yeah, because she's staying abused.
Right.
You're being used, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you one other thing? I mean, based on the fact that I grew up in that kind of environment that's dysfunctional, and I did read a book on the alcoholism, you know, adult children of alcoholics, that everybody has a role in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of the fixer-upper
yes.
Person.
That's a great that's a great name to put. You're right. You're the fixer-upper person in that home, and you're the fixer-up person with this guy.
So it feels comfortable for you to be trying to fix up something that is not being fixed up.
Right.
It's not making progress because it didn't get fixed at home.
But that's all you've ever known. See, all we've ever known, then we just simply do our role and we find somebody that needs fixing.
Right.
And we try to fix them.
Yeah.
Mm.
See?
So I purposely look for somebody?
Not purposely. You unconsciously fall into it because it's what you know. See, if somebody came in right now, they had everything together, and were healthy and wanted to connect, you'd feel so out of place and uncomfortable and inferior, you would sabotage that. And then some jerk would come along, and you, this is what I'm used to. I'm going to try to help this person. I'm going to save them, and you won't. And you'll lose yourself in the process, which you've done. So you have to, you have to say, okay, I have to trust God with my life. I have to get out of this relationship with this man. I have to start going to a women's Bible study, and I have to get some counseling. I need to go to a recovery group at the church and maybe one in the community. And I've got to start doing some things differently than ever before.
Right. Now, I have had some previous counseling in the past.
But it hasn't helped you to get to a place where right now you're doing what you need to do. And what you need to do is to get the person to leave your house, and you need to get out of that relationship and get healthy.
Okay, so there are, if you go to Al-Anon, it has a high focus upon codependency. If you go to codependency groups that hospitals have and churches have and recovery groups have, like Celebrate Recovery, 12-step groups for codependency, that's going to kind of be the buzzword that you could call and find out who has a recovery group for codependency, because you're enabling what this gentleman is doing, and it's not fair to you. And you deserve more than that.
Right, and I thank God that I at least thought I was thinking that I was. But I guess I needed that confirmation right now, because I do feel that with the fact that I had been having trouble just stopping it and walking away. That maybe because of all of that, I just needed someone to say, yeah, you really, that is what's going on.
Well, we said it.
Yeah,
and I'm going to send you Walking Into Walls, which is going to confirm it to you as to what you need to do. One of those walls is disconnected isolation. And what you've done is you've disconnected from the healthy people in this world, and they're out there, and you deserve to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't cause all this stuff to happen at childhood. You know, it happened to you. Now you're old enough, and you're going to be wise enough to make the decisions that prevent yourself from continuing to be a victim.
I tell people all the time, you can't help the hand that was dealt to you. You were a child. You had no ability to impact that world. So what you got is what you got. But it's unfortunate. You can't help the hand that was dealt to you. But you now, as an adult, have to play that hand and try to upgrade it and do a better job with what you've got.
Yeah.
So and a lot of people feel guilty because they're broken. And I go, well, we're all broken. But those of us that were unfortunate enough to come from a difficult home, that's doubly I'm sorry for you on that. But now you do have a responsibility as an adult to climb out of that.
Okay, let's go to Abby from Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hello, Abby. Welcome.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
I'm not good. I'm just really frustrated.
Okay.
I have a 14-year-old son that has just entered high school.
Okay.
He has Asperger's.
Okay.
And he refuses to take responsibility for any of his actions. And he's very defiant and disrespectful to authority figures. And I don't know what to do. I've got him in counseling. He has a counselor. He has a psychiatrist. We've done several things, and I don't know how to get him to take responsibility for his actions.
All right. What are those folks that he's working with saying to you?
Well, I mean, he goes through, like, different, I want to say training. That's not the word I'm looking for, but social skills. We put him in different situations.
No, but what are they saying about the problem and his lack of respect for anybody?
Well, I mean, I've always been told it's just part of Asperger's, you know, that he's not, you know, that he sees things his way. He talks like an adult, so he sees himself as an adult, and he's like on equal ground with authority figures.
Yeah.
So when he goes into class and they tell him to do something, he tells them, no, he ain't doing it. It's like he's talking as an adult when he's not.
And
he doesn't see his place as a 14-year-old.
So what are the consequences when you get word that, once again, he wasn't willing to respect a teacher?
Well, he got suspended, and so now I'm making him work with my husband. I'm doing physical labor every day that he's off school for what he's done, and he hates it. He hates it, but we are always constantly telling him that life is not about people doing what you want them to. It's about accepting that things are going to not always go your way.
Who does he connect with the most in this world?
Me.
With you. Okay.
He does not have any friends.
Yeah. Well, you're very important to him. You know, it's so important that you may unleash onto the world one of the greatest contributors to our society if you can handle this dilemma right here at 14.
Yes, sir.
The most committed person to New Life in financially has been a person with Asperger's.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
All right, we're talking with Abby. She has a 14-year-old son with Asperger's, and he's really having a hard time, with which many people do with Asperger's, with authority figures and connecting and just all the social skills. Mylan, you had a thought.
Well, I know people, Abby, with Asperger's that don't have anger problems. And I would,
really?
Yes. And I wouldn't necessarily accept that pat answer. I don't like pat answers to anything. Well, that's one of the characteristics of Asperger's. No, I don't like that. I think it's important to deal with the anger as a separate problem. You see, if he doesn't have any friends, if he's 14 years old, don't think that, an Asperger's person doesn't have feelings. They have feelings.
Right.
And they feel rejected. And we don't know. And so then it turns into a snowball, because they get rejected and then they become more angry, and pretty soon everything is something that they become angry at everybody. And so I would take the time to really work on the anger and take him to a therapist that's not going to lump him into some category, but would really help the family. Maybe all three of you go in, your husband, you, and your son. And you go in and you really talk about what makes you most angry. And you don't try and problem solve, but you really become empathetic with how difficult life is for him. And right. and also maybe there are other things that he hasn't disclosed to you that might be making him angry that perhaps you can fix. And then there's perhaps the need for alternative. I know an Asperger's young gal that is just starting university this semester, four-year school. And so they can be very high-functioning, but anger sabotages anybody, whether they have Asperger's, which to those that are listening is sort of a part of the autism scale and is a high-functioning person with autistic traits and characteristics. But I would really address the anger. And then if he has, does he have any other things like OCD or anything like that?
He is. He's OCD about several things. He really does not like to go out of the house
right.
and not do anything.
So it's possible, Abby, that he also has an anxiety disorder. And so yes. that needs to be, again, looked at separately. Anger, anxiety, depression. And then Asperger's, mm-hmm. and break these things apart and make sure that the professionals that are working with him aren't just lumping this all into one major large classification, but they're breaking the symptoms up into a more closer look and willing to treat them as yeah. they would the average person walking in that office.
Right.
It's a great idea. I mean, I think you're really onto something there. He's got Asperger's has so many symptoms, you can just lump it all together, but maybe there are right. some things that could, especially the anger, that could be treated individually. But you know, the right. thing is, I mean, if you can help him and say, "Look, I'm on your team. We got to make this work for you, not against you." And if we can make
yes.
it work for you, and figure that out now, you're going to form a foundation for amazing things to happen later in life.
And we do that. We do that on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
I try to get him to diffuse with me every night. What happened at school today? And he has started a new school, being a freshman, and it's been difficult. I mean, no one accepts him for who he is, and I'm not sure that he really accepts
yeah.
himself for who he
so
is.
Oh, it's so tough.
So we're working on that, trying
okay.
to get him to admit that, hey, this is me, and this is who I am,
right.
and I need to embrace me for other people to embrace me.
Okay.
Well, and he may need to go to an alternative type of an educational
yep.
program, because sometimes, I hate to say it, but it's true. We all know it's true. Kids are cruel. And so it's possible that if he went to a program where he's around other similar kids, life might be different for him.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you called. Hold on. I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids. It's by Milan Jurkovic.
And Kay.
And Kay, his own personal wife.
I'm half an author. Is,
yeah.
You know, that's what I call myself. Half author.
Well, we've got two books, so that makes you a whole one. Cindy from Augusta, Georgia,
true.
Online is where she listens. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to New Life. Cindy?
Hi. Are you? Yes, I'm here.
Are you? Okay. How could we help you today?
Okay. I have a blended family,
mm-hmm.
and there are four children in the family. Two children came into the marriage with me. Two came in with my husband, so we're both remarried. And during the summers, the two boys spend the summer with us. And I'm calling because we had a wonderful summer. We have a younger son that is my husband's who has some emotional problems. And when I say emotional, I mean he tends to be a little high-strung in terms of his emotions. He's either very happy and, you know, or very sad. And
now,
he kind of always has a negative look on life.
Now, what you're saying to me is that he doesn't see his dad for 9 months out of the year and then he comes and stays with his dad?
No. We live in the same city,
mm-hmm.
so he sees his dad like every other weekend,
uh-huh.
and other breaks that he has during the school year, and then they spend the summer, he and his brother spend the summer with us, because we're both off
okay.
during the summer.
Now, am I hearing that the father doesn't go to soccer games and stuff like that, but he's with him every other weekend?
Oh, no, he goes to everything.
Oh, okay.
He's very active.
All right.
Yeah, he's at
okay.
the school functions. He's at the game.
Okay. And what's your relationship like with him, the young boy,
oh,
the stepson?
It's good.
Good.
It's good.
All
I've
right.
been in his life for the past 6 years.
Okay.
So what's your question?
And,
yeah, what's the question
Cindy,
for
what's
us?
Your question about your son?
Oh, the question is, how do I handle dealing with his emotions? Because sometimes he tries to be manipulative. And we had an incident that happened this summer that I wanted to get guidance on.
What happened this summer?
Well, right after the summer school started, he went to school and he threatened to kill himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll find out about that, and we'll talk to you about that in a minute. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, if you could support this ministry, please call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense, and I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we are back. All right, we're talking with Cindy, and 10-year-old stepson now. I think we left off where he had threatened suicide at school.
Yes, yes.
Okay, tell us about that.
Okay, he went back to school at the beginning of August, and had just came off vacation with his mom, and we had a wonderful summer, not any issues, and my two children actually weren't there because they were spending time with their dad. So he had a lot of time with just him, his dad, and his brother, and myself. And his dad did a lot with him. So he went back to school that first week. I think he was getting ready to get some sort of project of some sort. And he has been saying he didn't like school for a long time. And I think he gets stressed out about work and things like that and feeling pressured about assignments. And sometimes he'll have assignments he has to do over the summer. And his mother can get very strict about work during the summer and very perfectionistic in her attitude about how he does the work.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward, he drew a picture, threatened to kill himself, and this is the whole part that has us kind of twisted. He said he was going to do it at his dad's house.
Mm.
And he said that he would do it there because he, we had, like, you know, these really dull steak knives and whatnot. But so he went to a facility and was admitted, I guess, for, you know, a 72-hour hold or something like that. When they had their first meeting and all the family was there, his dad was there as well, he said in front of the counselors and everything that he didn't want to go to his dad's house. And we're, you know, listening, wondering what is he getting ready to say. And he said because his dad tried to choke him. And his dad looked at him and he said, "Do you remember that?" And he's like, "No, I don't remember that. That never happened." And he said, "Well, when would this have happened?" And he said it was like 3 years ago. So my husband was very blank and knew, and I know he's never tried to do anything like that because we're always together
mm-hmm.
when the children are there.
Mm-hmm.
And my children are there. And I have a older daughter, a teenage daughter, and my son is actually the youngest. and my husband's sons are in the middle.
Okay.
And so, anyway, the son continued to say this happened and said he didn't want to come to our house anymore. Hmm. And so it just really crushed his dad because he didn't understand what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, make a long story short, they had these counseling sessions for a couple of weeks. The session, I guess, after when he was supposed to get out of the facility, because he wasn't, he spent the weekend there on a 72-hour hold, and then they had him return for classes and things like that.
Okay, so what's the question? What's the question for us?
Well, my question is, how do I know whether he is being manipulative or not? Because he has the tendency to say things to try to get out of doing something that he doesn't like. For instance, and I'm not saying that the suicide was one of those things. I'm saying we took that serious and it got handled, but, you know, he's been afraid of his father. So he's been calling his dad like at 12 o'clock in the morning on a cell phone, and his mom works a lot, so she's not always there, and he spends a lot of time with his stepdad. And so he will say things to his dad like, you know, I want to come back over. When can I come? And his dad and I don't feel comfortable at the moment letting him come over because we don't know what he's going to say we did or what my husband did. So yesterday he called again and asked if he could come over to live with his dad. And his dad is like, live with me. And he's like, but, you know, you said that I did these things to you. You said you were afraid. And he said, well, no, I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not afraid anymore.
Okay,
but then we found out.
All right, so what's the question for us then?
How do I know, how do we know if he is, if there's something wrong with him emotionally and mentally,
okay,
or if he is being manipulative?
Well, wait a second.
Okay.
Let me help
okay.
you rise above the forest, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a very troubled 10-year-old
mm-hmm.
that you need to be in family therapy with.
And he is, and we are too.
No, together with him.
Okay.
And a counselor needs to be helping you work out with him the inconsistencies and helping him process. He probably scared to death of his dad one day and then wants the affection of his dad another. And it
uh-huh.
isn't typical. A 10-year-old could make up a story. It's not typical that they do, but they certainly could make up a story. So, you know, you need a therapist to help you work through all of that. This is a very troubled boy. This isn't where you don't let him come over because he might be manipulative or something. This is where you're working with a therapist and trying
right.
to get to the heart of it. Mylon, what are you thinking when you hear a story like
well,
this?
Well, Cindy, I would not use the word manipulative because you are taking an adult concept and putting it onto a child. He's only 10 years old. Like Steve
okay.
said, he's troubled. Now,
okay.
if you use the word he's acting out or he's showing behaviors that are objectionable
uh-huh.
and or his behaviors are inconsistent and he's emotionally volatile, those are better words because I doubt that he does much forward thinking with respect to being able to be manipulative. I suspect that he operates pretty much in the moment as to how he feels. And he
right.
doesn't think way ahead of time, I'm going to do this and like a chess match strategically try to make all these moves and manipulate people. I'd also
okay.
like to ask the question and ask, not that we can answer it here, but what, you know, you said he's overwhelmed. He goes to school.
Yeah.
He's got a perfectionist mom. And so
yeah.
where this is all important information for a family therapist to work with. It could be that you have a highly sensitive stepson, that he is probably also at some level smart, but he's also fearful and anxious at some level. And now, and then he doesn't know what to do with that. And so he'll
right.
say, I don't think he's just looking for attention. I think he might be a kid that really, really does feel tremendous levels of pressure and doesn't know what to do with all that internal pressure. And if he has a mom who is making him be a perfectionist, you know, and also kids get angry, you know, because they're left with a parent, let's say. And they can get mad at the other parent for leaving them with a parent who's too strict. You said she's strict. So I don't know what the answer is, but trained therapists are supposed to be able to help figure out all these dynamics. And I would not rule out that he's just has severe anxiety and he's also perhaps depressed.
Yeah.
And I would have, you know, some physicians look at that and try and ask, what do we do with the depressed young boy who's suicidal and acting out?
Yeah. Okay. I hope that's helpful to you. Let me send you How We Love Our Kids. I hope that will be helpful. But, you know, this is just one of those cases. It's too complicated and extreme to take an answer off of radio other than you. This family, they need somebody working on an ongoing basis to help them see stuff.
Well, all children's behavior, because they're immature, their behavior is a language.
Yeah. Oh, good.
And so many people want to correct the behavior instead of asking, what is this
what
all
does it mean?
Saying?
Yeah.
And they're poor at delivery.
Yeah.
Because they're immature, but it's a language. What are they trying to say under all that?
Let's go to Lisa from Spokane, Washington, KLRF. Hello, Lisa.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
Well, I have a beautiful 9-year-old granddaughter who's homeschooled by her mama, and her mama had purchased a laptop for her a year ago. So when she was 8, she got this laptop for doing her kind of online homeschooling. And then it was just within the last month that she found pornography on the computer.
And this is an 8-year-old?
Granddaughter. What's that?
This is an 8-year-old?
Yeah, so she's 9 now. She got the computer when she was 8.
Okay.
She's 9 now. And they have found out that she's been viewing this rather disturbing hardcore porn for a year.
That's too bad.
And so my question for you guys is, as a grandma, how can I guide my daughter? Because she called me and she said, What should I do about this? And
what has she done about it? What's she done about it?
She has talked to her daughter about it. Actually, her daughter came to her about it. Her daughter said,
wow.
"Mama, I need to talk to you. As something's been really bothering me for a long time." And she just no more than said that, and she burst into tears. And she's like, "This is what's been going on." And she said, another neighborhood child had told her or showed her something or referred her to something, and then she took it from there. So my daughter she contacted her counselor via email and told her what had happened. And the counselor said, "It sounds like what you're doing is good as far as... making sure that the computer's cleaned up and there's a block on." And then she also, you know, just said,
"Hold on, we'll be back after this." Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care,
as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go back to Lisa. Okay, so what has your daughter done other than just, talk to her daughter and make sure it doesn't happen again? What has she done to help her process this? Because this is pretty damaging for an 8-year-old.
Yeah. That was my main question for you, was that I'm concerned because there's a tendency. My daughter has some pretty serious marital problems as
right.
well. It's been yeah. in the last couple of weeks that her husband came and said, I want a divorce.
Oh, dear.
And there's nothing being done as far as counseling for them. There's nothing happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that is definitely affecting my granddaughter as well. But she hasn't done anything further, and I have urged her to.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a complicated matter.
Yeah.
And when you think of an 8- and 9-year-old, kind of in our language, you have to really think more of 13-, 14-year-old. Kids are so uh-huh. advanced and so aware.
Uh-huh.
And so she's really going to have to do more than just talk with her. She's going to have to get some help for her. Mylon, your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to say something that's going to upset quite a few people in the audience. But I would get her out of homeschool right away, and I would get her into a place where she can begin get out of her isolation. She's been in a lot of isolation here. And a lot of times people who homeschool do so to protect and thinking they're going to give their child a better experience than if they were in a private school or another, or a public school. And so really, because the mother is now so distracted with her own marital problems, the child is being brought into a black hole of pain, and the mother cannot be available to help this child educationally prepare adequately, socially prepare adequately, as well as repair from this trauma.
And the little girl doesn't get a break from it.
And the little girl doesn't get a break. So thought number one, I would change her school situation and figure out a way to make that happen because she needs something different. Number two, your granddaughter has been traumatized. And so what she has seen at 8 and 9 years old is something that 8 and 9 year, well, not even adults should be even seeing.
Right.
And so she needs to go through post-traumatic work with some counselors, somebody that could help her, as Steve asked, how is she being processed? How is she processing these feelings? You need to look at it as though she's been abused or went through a personal abuse,
right.
a misuse. You need to look at it as though she went through tremendous harm. Now, what would you do with a child who had been through a literal situation of being harmed? You would get them into some sort of a support group. You'd have them in weekly counseling. Mm-hmm. You would get them into a place where a person could help them process all of this, because I guarantee you, Lisa, your daughter is so preoccupied with her own pain that she's not yeah. able to see her daughter right now, and she
right.
needs all the help you can. So if you could pay to do those two things and help get her into a different school and with a therapist that would help her process that trauma, she really needs that.
A Christian child psychologist would really be an amazing help to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, at what point would I be stepping over my bounds to, how far do I go? Or
Lisa, I was so concerned about what's going on. You know, I just wanted to find some help. So I called this radio show.
Yeah.
And here's what they were saying is that, she really needs some outside help to process this, that it really is traumatic, whether she acts like it's traumatic or not. And I'm willing to pay for that. That's how
okay.
I would say it to her.
Right. Right on. Okay.
And then if she says, no, no, I don't want to, you know, I don't believe in counselors. That's why I homeschool. I don't want to expose the outside world and all that. You say, honey, come on, let's talk this through. A really bad thing has happened here. We need to move beyond those things and get the daughter some help.
Right. Yeah, I definitely think she's been affected in a pretty huge way with it all, because she was at my house, and my daughter is also homeschooling another young girl that's very troubled and is a little bit older than my granddaughter, and
right.
they were both on my living room floor together, like under a sheet, and you know, just obsessed with being under that sheet for too long, and I'm going, okay, I'm going to take the sheet, and then they both looked guilty, like there was stuff going on.
Well, sure, because what they've learned to do in a year is to be sexually excited, sexualized behavior, sexualized intimacy, and if you have a mom and dad that are not connected with that little girl, again, I believe the choices that have been made here with respect to how these little girls are being trained, et cetera, is not the best choice for them. In certain circumstances, homeschooling could be a good choice for a child and a parent.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, I do not think it is at all.
This is an early sexualized child.
Yep.
She's probably seen same-sex pornography, all sorts of things. If you say it's hardcore, and she's acting it out now. So
right.
you really got to get
That's what children do. They act
right.
out what they see.
Right. We have a network of over 900 Christian counselors. We'd love to refer to you one. There's no obligation, no fee involved. Just call us and say, hey, can I get in touch with somebody that could help me in this particular area? On Friday, we're doing a Focus Friday on unlovable teens. And so are living with teens. And if you've got a question or something, you can join us for that. And then our weekly tips, 5 tips for loving your unlovable teen. Those can be really, really valuable from time to time. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. That's 639-5433. And then before Mylon shares some scripture with you, I want to ask you to support this ministry. Through Club New Life, you can become one of our about 5,000 people that give $30 to $1,000 a month. It only takes $30 a month to become part of this major foundation of giving that keeps us on the air. Or a one-time gift. Maybe something really great has happened in your life, and you've been wondering, where should I send my tithe or my offering? Maybe God's leading you to send it to us. We'll spend it as wisely as we possibly can. We use this money to help other people and to buy radio time. So call us if you can help us with a one-time gift also. I'm going to be in West Palm Beach on October the 28th for our Treatment Center's Pastors Conference. If you're a pastor in that area, you know one. We're going to be talking about addiction. And then I'll be up in Mississauga in Canada for the Promise Keepers Canada Built for the Battle Conference, November the 18th. If you're a guy, I'd love to see you there. And our resource, if you support us, we'll send you this gift of Characters of the Bible Uncensored. Is that the name of that? Let's see. Uncensored.
Yeah, Dave Stoop wrote that.
Yeah, People of the Bible Uncensored. So we'd love for you to have a copy of that. Mylon, some scripture for us as we close out the program?
Well, Romans 12:3 says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment of yourself.
Right.
And a lot of us, as we get into these positions and even maybe make choices to homeschool our kids, we might not be using sound judgment as to whether, and we think more highly of perhaps our capacities at any
right.
given moment.
Right.
Do I have the reserves to be doing what I am doing
yeah.
here? Or is it something I need to give up and yield because at this particular time in my life, I don't have the capacity to do
right.
this?
Okay. So if something we've said has touched you, and maybe you're in over your head a little bit with
yep.
a child or with your relationship in marriage or as a single person, you're just in over your head, call us and let us find someone that can help you. And I really do believe that there's a strong ego driving us to do things, to try to keep things under control, keep things hidden, and it doesn't help us. It hurts us. And God has resources for you and wants you to avail yourself of those resources. We can help you find them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, God bless you. We'll see you here next time on New Life Live. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.